Welcome to the worship service from Trinity Chapel in Seven Mile Ford, Virginia. Trinity Chapel is a small, traditional, and biblically based congregation in the southwest corner of Virginia. The church pastor is the Reverend Bob Bierman, also host of Truth to Ponder, heard on this station. We invite you to be a part of our worship service today. To learn more about the church, its mission, and its vision, visit the website TrinityChapelVirginia.com. That's TrinityChapelVirginia.com. And now join us in the sanctuary of Trinity Chapel for today's broadcast.
Well, good morning. I think this thing, yeah, it's on. Sometimes I just don't hear as well as I used to. So sometimes I have to turn my ear to hear if I'm actually there. And I'm more worried about those on the other side of the camera. Nothing worse than having a mouth move and you don't hear anything. I want to welcome you all here today on this Mother's Day. I had an interesting debate with some of my friends in another church body, and they were all being very persnickety.
So are you going to be making any mention of Mother's Day, or just going by the way it's supposed to be done in the book?
And I wrote to this group, and I said, no, I'm honoring Mother's Day. You would have thought I was a heretic for even saying that. What, you're not going to go by the book that we used to all use? I said, no, not today. Motherhood is under attack in our nation. You're now birthing people. So we're told. It's an institution ordained by God, and I see nothing wrong with honoring that in a church service at all. And that's why, after prayerful consideration, I could have talked about other things, but in a society that keeps pulling away from the family, I think it's time we refocus, encouraged motherhood, and the honorable estate that God gave us in that. My wife is the one that suggested getting the carnations. And so we had to do a little bit of finagling to find them, and we had to order from out of state, but we got them. In my case, I guess I'm on the blessed side. I have two others. So I have one that gave birth to me, and then the one that raised me. And so, in their honor. It is important that we honor this estate, and not just as some of these curmudgeons,
that's just making the florist rich or the restaurants wealthier today.
So be it. The mothers deserve it. Amen. So I welcome you here today. I thank you for putting up with the fact that I couldn't be here at the last minute last week during this time of recuperation. It was just an awful time. We're getting there. I mean, this has been two steps forward and one step back, and then this has been a little slower, but with what they did, which we did not anticipate, it's not to be unexpected. If, like during the sermon hymn before I preach, if I disappear for a moment, I'll be right back. Don't worry. It's the only bad side effect of when they do that kind of surgery. So we are here. I'm thankful for each and every one of you. And by the way, I've got to mention this. If many of you did, I know most of you know it, but if some of you don't, I got to give it to your husband, Mark, being so faithful to help out a friend. A friend of his is a pastor of a small church in Shilhowie. His wife is waiting for a liver transplant, and she's up at UVA. And so he's having to spend a lot of time up there, and he asked Mark, started out, can you fill in for a Sunday? Well, it's been, three now, I guess. And I was talking to Mark. Mark and I met up here. The first time I got out of the house, after the surgery was to come up here and spend some time with Mark. And what a blessing, Mark. You don't know what a blessing your husband is to me. And I see the call on his life. And so I think this is an opportunity that God just gave to him to help out a friend in need. And of course he needs to be there. And so and he tries to get here as soon as he can after that service. So I'm looking forward to that as well. He is such a blessing. I'm trying to think if there are any other announcements that I need to be sharing today. I think my wife was suggesting things we could do in the outside of the building or the church. You know, anything like flowers, cleaning up a little bit. Maybe it's getting ready to paint downstairs. I mean, things like that. I'd like to get done as we can do it. This church can be hard on me, but it's also a blessing for me. You know, some Sundays you don't know what you're getting yourself into. Other Sundays you're just saying, Lord, we've got the room. We even have parking, not as much as I'd like, but we have enough. And so I pray for three things. Number one, that this church never becomes about me, that it becomes about God, his people, and his sovereignty. Number two, that people's lives are changed in this place, that they can find peace and solace and learn and be encouraged one with another. And number three, that our witness goes beyond these four walls. That's why I'm looking forward to this summer putting all the final pieces of the puzzle together to put WMYC on the air, My Christian Radio, 93.3, to serve, you know, this immediate region. And I think that people that are seeking may find it and then learn about this place if they have no other place. I'll save some of what I have in my mind for next Sunday. It'll be more fitting at that time anyway as we remember next Sunday, Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit to the church. And so we'll talk about that next week. With that, let us get our hearts and minds ready with this short little video about Mother's Day. Our opening hymn today may not sound like a Mother's Day hymn, but mothers are mentioned. And it normally is a hymn you associate with Thanksgiving. But I'm going to ask if you'll stand and sing with us today, Now Thank We All Our God.
And hands and voices.
Almighty God, at whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word.
Good morning again. I was sitting here thinking before I came in about how much Jesus loved his mama and how much reverence he gave her, and it just kind of warmed my heart to think about that. So today we'll begin our readings from Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months, but then she could no longer hide him, so she got him a papyrus basket and covered it with tar and pitch. Then she put the child in it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. And his sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. Now the daughter of the Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile, with her female attendants walking alongside the Nile. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave woman. And she brought it to her, and she opened it and saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. And she had pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to the Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a woman for you who is nursing from the Hebrew women so that she may nurse the child for you?" The Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go ahead." So the girl went and called the child's mother. And then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew. And she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses and said, "Because I drew him out of the water." All right, so our next psalm, if we can read together, is Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise him, you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For this time and forever, from the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God? Who is enthroned on high? Who looks far down to the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the garbage heap to seat them with noblemen, with the noblest people. He has the infertile woman live in the house as a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. And now for our second lesson, is to be found in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may turn out well for you, and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service, but as people pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. The good will render service as to the Lord and not to the people, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. And masters, do the same things to them, and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. And finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggles is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of the wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel lesson is one that you normally hear during the Advent and Christmas season. but it makes a lot of sense for today. It comes from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning at the 46th verse. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for he, behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed the strength of his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich he has sent empty away. He has opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. As he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stand together if you can as we sing our sermon hymn.
Thinking all is lost, counts your many blessings.
Heavenly Father, as we come to this time, as we gather around your word, open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive what you have for us. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Little side note, having spent the first 10, 12 years of my working life primarily as a disc jockey, we can pretty well time how to, during a song, exit a studio and return in plenty of time. Comes with the territory. And even after all these years, it's still a blessing, especially now. If you go back, oh, let's say 5 centuries ago, there was a book written called the Book of Common Prayer. And it was used by the Church of England, and it was used by Methodist. It's been used by a lot of different groups over the centuries. And there's a whole segment in the prayer book dedicated to the churching of women. And we don't think about that kind of stuff today. It's like, that's archaic, that's old stuff, that's from way back, you know, prehistoric times. But we sometimes forget that childbearing over the centuries until modern times could be a very dangerous proposition, and many mothers would either lose their life or the child's life or both in the process of childbirth. I think of all these larger families, because children didn't survive. Reading a story about Johann Sebastian Bach, the composer. He lost virtually all of his children. And then his first wife died. He remarried, and those children all died. They didn't make it. They didn't have what we have today. So motherhood was not just something that was easy to do. It was a difficult thing to do. And even today with all the technology, it's still not easy. When I think back over the centuries, those 100 years ago, 150 years ago, you had midwives to help in the process of giving birth to a child. And you have to think, how many times was there terrible disappointment when the child didn't make it or something happened? We truly are in a blessed time where we have so many aids medically to get through the process. Motherhood, it's not for the faint of heart. I've been able to be a dad, but never a father from the medical perspective. It's been my privilege to raise children, lots of them, and grandchildren, and believe it or not, at my tender young age, great-grandchildren. I kind of married into a ready-made family with a wife that was a bit older than I was, not massively, but enough to make a difference. And I had an experience. One of my wife's daughters ran into a problem in her marriage. And she and now my young granddaughter were in kind of a bad way. And we made the decision for that daughter and her little granddaughter, my granddaughter, to move in with us for quite a number of years, to give her stability, give them all stability. Years later, when that granddaughter grew up and she found herself pregnant, she chose not to abort the child, which is what I would have expected. But she was kind of alone in the world. I kind of understand childbirth. I'm the one that caught that child coming out of the womb. She wanted me there because she was scared. Now, years later, she now has two other children, and she has become an incredible mother herself. Even in spite of our imperfected ways, sometimes some of the things that we teach our children come back. Some kids, like me, can be a little slow on the uptake. It's always a wonderful thing and a privilege when you see, even though their pathway was convoluted, they end up where you desired them to be from the very beginning. God is faithful. So I've got a copy of that prayer book here. And it starts out, they had a whole little service that they would do at home. That went, "For as much as it has pleased Almighty God of His goodness to give you safe deliverance and to preserve you in the great danger of childbirth, you therefore shall give hearty thanks unto God." And then they would read a psalm. They had a few prayers. The minister going, "O Lord, save this woman, thy servant." Everybody would answer, "And putteth her trust in thee. Be thou to her a strong tower." She would reply, "From the face of her enemy, Lord, hear our prayer and let our cry come unto thee." And they would close with these words, "Grant, we beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, that the child of this thy servant may daily increase in wisdom and stature and grow in thy love and service until he or she come into thy eternal joy through Jesus Christ our Lord." There may be something to say about giving the estate of motherhood that kind of honor that it was given before and take it not for granted. Today, motherhood is almost an afterthought for many people. They have children. They buy it toys. They give it electronic devices. They hope the parents will raise them or the grandparents, whatever the case may be. And we've just lowered the esteem. And maybe my curmudgeon friends are right to the degree that the only thing a lot of people do is, yeah, we'll make the restaurant reservation. Yeah, we'll buy the flowers and a card and call it a day. And in June, we'll do something similar for fathers. Yet all the time, our world around us is trying to tear it all down. You don't need the mother and father anymore. We just have birthing people anyway. Children should be raised by the community. They should be raised by, seems to be, everything but the parents. We as Christians are called to live in this world, but not be of it. And thus, to me, this honoring the estate of motherhood is something that we as Christians should naturally be desiring, be doing, be promoting, be assisting, be encouraging, and be praying about. One of the people that watches this service says the thing that makes them feel really excited about this little church is hearing the sound of little children in this church. Yeah, we have two extra microphones up here to pick up that extra ambience so they people know that there are people here. And it's like one person said, you know, normally today in most churches, the average age is, well, it's white hair. Let's be honest. And mine is, I've got a white beard, but, you know, I'm basically the average age of many churches today. In my later 60s. And some of the people today complaining about motherhood to me were all, they all have churches with older people. And I'm going, you know, that's another thing I get a kick out of. Well, how many kids do you have in your church? Well, nothing. Children are a heritage of the Lord. Mothers nurture, protect, guide them on their way. It's an honorable estate of God. This is why, for me, and even though we're in this little place, I always challenge those that I know in ministry. What are you doing to help parents? What are you offering to help children. I mean, we're trying to develop something here for that very function, that very purpose, to help mothers raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You can't expect the state to do the job that's been given to mothers. And I really believe it is the church's shared responsibility to help in our community, to help those mothers that are trying to raise their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. It's not easy in this day and age. My wife and I, we're going back about 7-8 years now. I was helping a church in Jensen Beach. And we would drive to that church on Sunday morning. And one of the things we had to go past on the way to church, besides the restaurants, were the ball fields. And I was amazed at how many ball games, competitive games, were being played on a Sunday morning. And how parents had to make the choice, well, my kid needs to be in T-ball, then this little league, and this and the other. So we don't have time for church anymore because, see, Sunday morning is now baseball time. The powers that want to separate your children from God will always use enticing things, the shiny things, to encourage them to deviate away. And the parents feel this obligation that I want my child to have all the great opportunity. And so we make, these parents make a choice. On any given Sunday, there are more people at the First Church of the Home Depot than there are in the Christian church. It's the way it goes. Or the First Church of what's his name? Walton. Yeah, the Walmart store. We as a society have gotten away from the churching of women, from the confessing of our sins, from giving praise, honor, and glory. We've substituted entertainment in its place, whether it be inside of what we call a church or something that is not even related to the church. It becomes about what we think we want for ourselves more than what God is wanting from us. I've told you multiple times, have I been perfect in my relationship growing up? Am I worthy of the calling that God gave me? Absolutely not. And any pastor that will ever tell you that they're worthy of God's calling on their lives is a liar. I've said this 100 times too. In this church, I know. God does not necessarily call the qualified, but he does qualify those that he calls. And one of the greatest diversions the enemy has is to tell somebody that is wrestling with God's call, you're not good enough. You're not worthy enough. You don't have enough pedigree. You don't have enough education. You don't have enough this, that, or the other. And you're saying that God is impotent, unable to train, raise. Hey, next Sunday we're celebrating the gift of the Holy Spirit to the church. We're a bunch, a combination of tax collector, farm boys, and fishermen. We're empowered to bring 3,000 people in one sermon into the church in 1 hour. What seminary did they go to again? Where did they get their degree? Which prayer book or which version of a Bible translation did they have in their hand at the time? They had none of it. The power of God's Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah. This is important. This is God's word. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We are privileged to have something that the early church didn't even have compiled yet for hundreds of years. God's written word to his people. And sometimes I think we look at our own abilities, our own talents, our own stuff, our own theology, our own rubrics and rules and regulations, and we lose sight of what our real purpose is about. I used to have in my office when I was an engineer for a major market radio station. Somebody had left it in the engineering office, and it was a great little looked like one of those wise sayings, kind of an old English. And I can't quote it exactly. It was almost poetic, and I just can't remember it precisely. But it talked about our obligation to our first task and our calling and the work that is laid out before us, how we must be singly minded and focused on the job that we have. And then it concluded, but when you're up to your fanny in alligators, it's hard to remember your job was to drain the swamp. And I've always remembered that whenever you're even in a situation like a church, what is the primary function? To share and teach God's word. To be with those that have needs. To share good news. To give hope in a hopeless time. To replace fear with faith. That's our calling. That's our obligation. Yet there are times when things are difficult, things are not easy, when things are not going the way you want, you can lose sight of our first calling on our first mission. Motherhood, and I go back to the words of Mary after the angel of the Lord had come unto her and gave her this good news that she was going to be bearing a son. He will be Emmanuel. His name will be Jesus. And this young girl, we don't know precisely the age, whether it's 14, 15, 16, or 17. Who knows? They married young back then anyway. But somehow she was able to witness to that calling. She felt herself unworthy, but knew that she'd be called blessed only because of God and what God was doing in her, for her. Not because she had anything special going for her, but she was God's chosen handmaiden for a very important job. Apparently, she did well. Then I think of those. And I want to close on this note. Maybe it's something you've never had to experience. Maybe it's something that's not a part of your life or your family. But it certainly is for me and mine. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, last time I was here, that I had been put up for adoption when I was a little over 1 year of age. And the journey that I got to take as a little babe that I never could remember now, kind of fascinating. In the 1980s, when I was in my 30s, I started getting curious about me, trying to find out where I fit in. Now, trust me, the parents that raised me, and in particular my dad's mother, my grandmother, who really, really felt a burden for me, were one of the greatest blessings I could have ever had. I did not want to offend my parents in seeking to find out more about my heritage. I remember one day talking to my grandmother on the phone and saying, you know, I'd love to find out. And my grandmother said, I think that you should. So I started a process that took, this is before the internet, 2 years. And one clue was given to me by visiting a church. Remember, I had mentioned that I had been baptized at a church as an infant. Well, I had a modified birth certificate, so I had no idea of who was who. Names had been changed. So when I made a trip all the way up to New York City, and I visited that little church in Brooklyn, and there made a photocopy of the original baptismal certificate with everybody's real name. Over the next year, I located my birth mother in Reseda, California. And within a couple of months after that, my birth father, living in Denver, Colorado, he was from Star City, West Virginia. And so in that time in the 1990s, I had a chance to make multiple trips to visit with my birth mother and my birth father. Answered a lot of questions about who I am and my personality and my quirks. Trust me, it really did. But it also taught me one thing. God in his wisdom raised me with the family I needed to be raised with. Believe me.
Amen.
I would have been. You don't want to know the mess my life could have ended up being had I not been put up for adoption. It was a privilege to know them. It was a privilege to meet them and resolve many issues for me that encouraged me to continue on into ministry. Finding out that I'm the firstborn of three, not the middle child. A lot of things that changed in my dynamic. And that's why even those that adopt that may not be, quote, the birth mother, still an honor profession. And I'm thankful that I had parents and grandparents that God delivered me to, just like Moses. His life was going to be nothing as a Hebrew child, and they were trying to thin the herd at the time. That's why the child had to be hidden. And yet, by God's grace, Moses is delivered and becomes the Pharaoh's daughter's son, raised in the household of Pharaoh. What a position of power God gave him through an adoption. And look at what Moses accomplished in spite of his bad self because of God's anointing. We have great opportunity in this little church. We still have a few pews to fill. Not many, but it can be done. Let us be the church that is known not for giving lip service to mothers and fathers, but being there for them, even as small as we are. We can accomplish great things with the power and the might and authority of God's word and being empowered by his Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to pick up next Sunday. The power of God's Holy Spirit. I think the church has lost sight of that as well. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that we have had together around your word as we learn about mothers and the importance you've placed motherhood in your economy. The things that we need. I'm thankful for every mother represented here today, everyone watching, and for those that whose mothers have gone on before us, that your peace and comfort will be with all of us. And as I prepare to close this service, I ran into something that I want to share with you. And I put it together with a video. It's a song written by a woman in England as a tribute to her mother. She sings a lot of Christian songs, and I found it, and I decided to use some other, call it for lack of a better word, stock video about motherhood. I want you to watch this before we close today's service.
Thank you, Mother, for standing beside me, for helping to guide me through all my fears. When I was down so touch and go. for me. Thank you, Mother, for standing beside me, for helping to guide me through all my fears. Thank you, Mother, for taking the time, for making a smile of my used up tears. So where the friends had gone, you were there for me, just like my favorite song. You were there for me, and you're still there for me. Thank you, Mother, for standing beside me, for helping to guide me through all my fears. Thank you, Mother, for taking the
That song was written in honor of a mother who passed away from dementia. And she was sharing to her mother, in spite of me losing you over time before she actually passed away, she was thankful for the years that God had given them together. Once again, Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus, thanking you for mothers and motherhood, and parents and your divine plan for all of us. Father, we come up short often. I pray you'll forgive our sins and restore us unto you, to give us the joy of that salvation, in spite of the times that we fail in many of the things you've asked us to do, that your word requires us to do, and things that we know instinctively we should do. We ask forgiveness for the things that we have done and even for those things we have left undone. Restore us unto you. Bring us into your house of faith. For all those experience any needs today, whether those needs be financial, whether they be emotional, whether they be physical, we bring all of these to the feet of the cross. And Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, let us leave this place today different, changed, restored, with hearts full of gladness. For this I ask in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen and amen. Let us stand together and sing our closing hymn, Love Divine, All Love Excelling.
Yeah.
Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always from now and forever. Amen. Depart in peace. Serve the Lord with gladness.
You've been listening to the worship service from Trinity Chapel in 7 Mile Ford, Virginia. Trinity Chapel is a small, traditional, and biblically based congregation in the southwest corner of Virginia. The church pastor is the Reverend Bob Bierman, also host of Truth to Ponder, heard on this station. We want to thank you for being a part of our worship service today. To learn more about the church, its mission, and its vision, visit the website TrinityChapelVirginia.com. That is TrinityChapelVirginia.com. And we invite you to join us next week at the same time for another service from Trinity Chapel.